I just want to be as positive an influence on their lives as I can.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Train. I had the great fortune of speaking with Mike Topetsoffer from Train. He works in the building science division. Not only do we talk about his fatherhood journey, we also talked about ways that we can keep our HVAC units running smoothly. He gave me a lot of tips on preventative care that homeowners can do and when you need to call in a Train technician. We also talked about air quality. Now more than ever, as everyone's staying at home, going to school virtually, or working from home, we want to make sure the air quality in our homes are as good as they possibly can be. Mike gives me a lot of tips for that as well. We also break down the latest tech that Train offers for your home. You can definitely manage your heat and cooling systems from the ease of your smartphone or tablet. To listen to that conversation that I had with Mike, make sure you go to artoffatherhood.net. To learn more about Train products and the latest tech, make sure you go to train.com. That's TRANE.com. What's up, everyone? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast and online. I'm very happy to have Nick Eversman. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Nick. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. Staying happy, staying healthy, staying safe.
Awesome, man. That's fantastic to hear. We're going to be talking about acting and, of course, the great work you've done in different shows and, of course, right now with the Good Lord Bird. But, of course, the main reason why I wanted to bring you on here, sir, is talk about fatherhood. So talk to me when you found out you're going to be a dad. What was going through your mind, sir?
Well, goodness, I remember the moment. It was actually just downstairs from where we're living right now. We live in an apartment in Los Angeles. And my wife and I, I'll be honest, and kind of said, sure, let's try. And she actually took the test, and I said, I would like to see the results first, if that's okay. And she actually respectfully said, yes. I actually got to watch it change. I kind of just took a second. And, you know, I was excited. But I took a second and then kind of looked around and was like, oh, we're in a one bedroom. This is, So I just looked at her and I go, well, we're going to need a bigger apartment. And she just said, well, are you serious? I said, I'm serious. And we embraced. You're not joking. I'm not joking. I mean, it was just an immense amount of joy that came through us. We didn't care what kind of kid we were going to have, anything like that. We were just so excited to bring another life into this world. Goodness, what was so amazing, I'll say, is we did have to find a larger place. Well, it just so happened that the people upstairs from us who had a two-bedroom apartment were moving out. And I had just let the manager know that, unfortunately, we were going to have to leave because we needed a larger location. And he actually came to us and said, well, here, I've got a place for you that's only just a little bit more. He really cut us a deal. And I said, why are you doing this? And he said, well, you know, you guys are a happy couple. And I love families, and I would love to see you guys, you know, raise your family here. And it was just kind of, it was amazing because everything aligned, you know. We were able to not have to move out of the city or anything like that. We were able to really start our lives basically where, you know, we were still living them, you know, but it started with the family and the kids. And we live next to a big park as well. And so it was just perfect where we were for raising kids and the family.
Nick, that's great. I think a lot of people just on the apartment side alone, like, are you kidding me? You got a deal? That's awesome, right? So, but even
man, I have no idea how that worked out. I'll tell you that. No, we're lucky too because it's actually rent controlled. So nice. We've been able to stay here for a little bit. We might have to get another place sooner rather than later, but. For now, it's definitely great to raise a family.
That's awesome. Nick, I got to say, like, with all the dads I've interviewed through the different fatherhood series and podcasts and all that stuff, I got to admit, man, you're the first one that said, like, hey, I want to see the results first. And I love that. And the way you kind of crafted, like, you looked around, like, all right, how can I spin this, right? Because guys always want to have that, like, cool one line or something like that. And you had it right there. It's like, well, we're going to need another place, right? And for me...
Well-
for me, I was just saying, my wife would, like, I have two daughters, they're 10 and 12, and, like, she showed me the pregnancy test both times, but, like, listening to your story, it's like, man, I wish I'd done that, because that's a pretty cool story, dude.
You know, I'll say there have really only been a few things that I've honestly put as goals for myself in life. One of them was I wanted to be an actor and to make that part of my life's work. Another one was to be a husband, and another one was to be a father. Check, check, check. It was kind of this amazing moment where you kind of, I had just a moment there to realize that a lot of the things that I had dreamt of, while they may not have happened the way that I would have, you know, thought of originally, they all came true. And it was because I put myself in a position to have those moments, I guess. And I, you know, I thank my parents for that, but I always wanted to be a dad. So my father is a wonderful, wonderful man. Of course, my mom is too. They're absolutely fantastic. They've always been nothing but supportive of me. But my father really kind of instilled in me, you know, I want to be a good dad. Just to see that, it was very exciting.
That's fantastic, Nick. And, you know, you said, like, you know, you wanted to become an actor, you wanted to be a husband, you wanted to be a dad, like, check, check, check. Between those, checking off those boxes, there was a lot of hard work that had to go into that. You know, in any relationship, there's got to be trust, communication, hard work. And if, obviously in your business, sir, man, I know that it's there's a lot of pressure. People are trying to, you know, go for the same role. So there's a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication that goes into that. And of course, creating great relationships with your spouse and of course with your kids. So hard work is definitely going to be a value that you're innately going to pass on to your kids. But like, what are some other core values you're looking to instill into them?
First and foremost for us, it's about acceptance. In kind of all of its forms, understanding what's going on around you, being willing to appreciate it, take it for what it is, understand it as best you can, and incorporate it into your life, really into your life. You know, an example would be my wife is actually 100% Filipino. So it's actually really funny. I found it a little funny at the time. We were having a conversation with a friend of ours, and my wife said something about the fact that our kids are mixed. And I kind of looked at her for a second and said, "What?" And she said, "They're mixed." Because we were talking about race, and I was like, oh my gosh, I only ever really saw them as my kids. And like, how could somebody not love them? They're amazing human beings with imaginations and their own thoughts and ideas, and you know they have this just amount of wonder. How could somebody not be drawn to that and love that? And so then it kind of clicked with me that, like, oh, we may actually have to talk about race with our kids, and especially, you know, because, you know, they are a mixed race. And then just as they've grown up, you know, that's one of the big things that we've kind of instilled in them, is don't be afraid of that. And also just don't be afraid of really of people, you know, don't have a fear of people. Don't go to hatred first. First go to love. First go to understanding. First go to the things that are good, the things that make you feel good. That doesn't mean you have to trust every single person that you see, but you can certainly say hello.
Yeah.
You know, you can certainly treat people with dignity and respect. One thing that I'm very excited about with Lorelai, our eldest, she's 5 now, and she has this ability or mindset where everyone is her friend until proven otherwise, I guess. So if she sees a kid, you know, playing in the park, she'll say, "Can I go play with my friend?" And it's like, well, you know, hang on, first let's go meet them. You know, let's introduce ourselves first.
Yeah.
But I really do like the fact, I'm very proud of the fact that's where she goes. That's where her mindset is it's not a fear. It's of love and curiosity and positivity about each other. Shoot, she cares about people to the point to, like, I'll be honest, if we walk around the park and she sees somebody since this is, you know, being aired now, if she sees somebody without a mask, she'll ask me or she'll even ask them, like, where's your mask? it's so, it's done in such a sweet way. You know, she's never looking to hurt anyone or anything. You know, she's just curious and wants to help. You know, she said she wanted to be a doctor. So that's the biggest thing that I think we really wanted to instill in our kids, the biggest. But that incorporates a lot of things. It's just acceptance and love, choose to hate or you know, see disagreements or see, you know, problems. Yeah. Look for the solutions. Look for the ways that we're all alike and the ways that we can make things better.
I love what you and your wife are doing, and I think just in our conversation right now, you know, obviously the first time you and I have had this conversation or just had a conversation in general, right?
Yeah.
I've seen
I've seen
you in different shows and movies and stuff like that, but here's the thing, man, like what you said in the beginning where it's like you didn't even think about your kids being mixed, right? Like, and I think I pray for our kids' generation just to like move on. Cause I mean, obviously just with this pandemic and all the stuff that we've seen, right? This in the past couple of years, it's crazy. And to have dads like you that don't look at, you know, the skin color or whatever the case may be, you just look at them as your kids and you love them. And that's what, like, the underlying thing is like, we want to leave this place in a better world for our kids. And we want our kids to be positive people in this world, right? Like, as it comes down to like the golden rule or whatever religion you may follow, if you don't even follow religion,
of course.
Just like, just be nice to people. Right. And from to hearing what you're saying right there,
I'm
Nick,
a Jedi. I'm a Jedi. That's my religion.
Yes, my man. I love it. But like,
Buddhism, essentially.
Yeah. Listening to you, I heard what you said about like, yeah, they're my kids. And I just love them. Right. And I love the fact that you're, you know, your oldest just goes into this world trying to like be friends with everybody. And like you said, like, not everyone's going to be great, but don't have that attitude like everyone's going to be bad, right? And so I think we need a lot of that in this world. And I think this kind of bleeds into my next question. Talk about something that you have learned about yourself or about life in general through your kids.
Oh, I'm way too hard on myself. That's the biggest thing I've learned. I'm constantly talking to myself and reflecting on things that I've done with my kids and you know, was I fair in this moment? Did I treat them well today? Or, you know, when I was feeling this way, were they feeling my feelings as well? And was it having an effect on them? And if that's the case, that's something I need to improve upon. I'm always just constantly thinking about what I can do for myself because I'm so hard on myself. I just want to be as positive an influence on their lives as I can. I really don't know another way to put it. I'm very hard on myself for that, but that's one thing that I've really learned. Had some time now, a few years, about 5 years now, to kind of come to grasp with, especially had a few people stop me and talk to me when I've been outside with the kids, and they'll say stuff about, you know, they'll say that, you know, Lorelai is being very kind or you know, whatnot, and I'll somehow turn the conversation around to, you know, I just hope I'm doing enough and all of that, and I had this sweet old lady one time who kind of just put the whole thing to rest, and she goes, "Well, they're a reflection of you. What you do is what they know. That is what they're learning. That's no secret. They learn from what's around them. You're around them. People are saying good things about your kids. They're, you know, if you have any doubts, you know, it's you need to look in the mirror a little bit more because, you know." They're doing just fine, and they're doing just fine because you and your wife are doing very good things for them. That, to me, was a moment where I finally, honestly, took like a big exhale.
Yeah.
And it was a moment of like, oh, because I mean, and this is, oh gosh, you know, everybody says this, you know, there's no parenting handbook. And yes, there are parenting handbooks, but you don't really have a good judge of what a good parent is, at least for me, aside from their own. You can see people on TV And that can be a rosy view of it. Mm-hmm. You can see people on the street and you'll have split-second judgments. You could. You don't know any of that until you're there. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as I became a father, it was then like, oh my gosh, there are so many things I don't know. And there's so much that I have to learn. And it's because I have this other being now that I'm going to teach and help grow. Mm-hmm. And become their own person. And so it suddenly became very scary. It was, you know, once she was here, and it was like, what do I do? What do I do? Am I doing okay, Dad? Like, you know, so there were some nights where I was calling my dad and saying, you know, she's doing this, she's doing that, and is that right? Yeah, that sounds okay with me. And, well, she has a rash. Is that normal?
I love it.
You know, and credit to my mom, too. And really credit to my wife. Oh, goodness gracious. Where I would be without her. I don't know how she keeps me together. She is my rock. She's my everything. And she was the first one really to tell me that, you know, I'm a good father.
Hmm. That's who you want to hear it from, right? Especially like wife and your parents,
course,
right?
Of course, hear that. It's that to me again is one of those marks that I'm still hoping. I'll say it this way: I'm still hoping to continue that check mark. That's going to be a long check mark of being a good dad. That's not just a one and done. You know, that's a just like being a good husband. Yep. That's something that will last your entire life. Mm-hmm. And so you have to continue to work every single day. So I've definitely come to peace with it, but that is definitely the one thing that I've learned is that I'm way too hard on myself.
I appreciate you sharing that because I feel like a lot of dads will second guess themselves and just say like, you know, am I doing the right thing? And having that one lady on the street, you know, say like, hey, they're a reflection of you, and having your wife and your family and your support system and people who you trust being like, hey, you're being a good dad. Like, yeah, we're always going to second guess ourselves and the most important things we do, especially being a dad. So that is great. And one more question before we kind of go into the acting world that you're in, sir. You're great because I just feel like you're kind of always going right into my next question. Maybe it is not to be hard on yourself, but what is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads? Listen to this.
One big piece of advice. Listen to your children. Hmm. Listen to your kids. I'm excited to share things with my kids. You have no idea how excited I was when, you know, my kids watched one of my favorite movies for the first time, you know, and sharing that with them. At the end of the day, I kind of was left with this weird question: was, did she want to see that? Or did I just convince her that she wanted to see that?
Yep. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a weird thing. Listen to them and really hear what they have to say. And sometimes it honestly, you know, we have a 3-year-old. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're going, and shoot, I remember this going on a, you know, taking a cardboard box and going to the moon. They were doing that honestly right before I got on the phone with you.
Nice.
So let them be who they want to be. Listen and learn from them. That's a big thing too, is understand that every moment you have with them is a gift because you're learning from them as well. You're remembering part of who you were. I know that there are things that I've remembered that I've long forgotten. Like I'm remembering, you know, my first moments in kindergarten. You know, my daughter is going through kindergarten during a time of COVID where everybody's distance learning. She's not getting the same experience. I remember sitting in class and learning how to tie my shoe, and my teacher was in the middle of a book, and I just shouted out, you know, I tied my shoe, you know, and it was such a proud moment for me. I was so proud.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to see those same moments in my kids. And that's actually a big thing too. In this time, we have been given a little bit of a gift, and that is more time with our family. When we've been able to, you know, obviously spending more time at home, being together, really just our core family groups, especially with the kids. I know with my children, it's been wonderful because I've seen them grow.
Yeah.
I've seen my daughter write words for the first time you know, just based on what the teacher says, you know, a word that she says, and giving, you know, a little bit of help with, you know, the sounds. But I was witness to that. That's something my parents didn't necessarily have. My mom actually did run a daycare and everything, so I do actually think she saw something like that. But I know that's something a lot of parents don't have.
Yeah.
Spend time with your kids. Listen to them. Learn from them. Learn with them. Really, learn with them. They're a lot smarter than us in a lot of ways.
Yep, yes.
In a lot of ways, it's just simple logic to them. It's black and white, or, you know, it's like wearing a mask to my daughter is not a thing.
Yeah.
She just does it. Yep. She just does it because I told her one time wearing it helps you stay healthy. It can help. And she said, okay. And that was enough for her.
Yeah. It's something that simple where people can, like, at that age, like, okay, cool. And then other people who are older are like, well, I'm not doing this. So, like, yeah, I love the fact that she pointed that out.
You know, it's so funny because that with her was a 30-second conversation, you know, at most.
Yeah.
I can turn on CNN or Fox News, or you can bleep out any one of these stations.
Yeah, no worries.
But, I can turn on any news channel and hear them talk about it for 45 minutes. And it's just ridiculous at times.
I feel you, man.
The knowledge that children have is vast and far-reaching.
Yep.
So don't take it for granted. Don't ever take it for granted.
100% agree, man. I love that. Thank you very much for sharing that. And talk a little bit about acting. One of your latest roles, you play John Brown Jr. in The Good Lord Bird. It's based on the series from James McBride. Talk a little bit about your role, and besides, of course, checking out the book, talk a little bit about your character and how you prepped up for this role, sir.
I would love to. John Brown Jr. was probably my favorite role that I've ever played. The moment that I received the role, I broke down. I was in the middle of working at a bar, and I went into the back room and just started crying. Prep work for it? Let's see. So, yes, I did have a chance to read the book. We actually listened to the audio book. My wife and I, we had our kids fly with my mom to Chicago because we were actually filming just outside of Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I were going to need my wife was going to need a car because she was going to be in Chicago with my family for a moment. So we actually took a cross-country road trip. So we went through essentially Route 66, stopping at the Grand Canyon and a few other places as well. And, you know, I took that time to really just look around, honestly, and just look at the landscapes and seeing all the different types and all that and the wildlife. And, you know, it sounds very simple, but I just took a moment to really look around and appreciate all of that. When I landed on set, one of the first things we did was something called cowboy camp, which is they had us do horseback riding lessons. I had never really done any horseback riding, and Civil War weaponry training. Both of those, I can tell you as an actor, I have waited for my entire life to have a role where I could actually prep and be given training, you know, that kind of a thing. The horseback riding, I was told immediately, you know, we're using bone saddles, so they're not comfortable. In other words, wear padding. It could hurt. We had 3-hour blocks that we went in. The first one was actually Ethan and myself,
nice.
Which was very cool. To see Dad kind of, you know, running around with a horse in the pen next to me, and I'm just figuring stuff out. And we ended up doing some tracking just a little bit later. We caught up to each other and just kind of rode horses together. We had our wranglers with us, Robbie and Ryan, who are just absolutely fantastic. Both of the guys were champion, you know, ropers and handlers, and it was absolutely, we had the best crew.
Cool.
But what I did was I threw myself straight into it. So that first day I had a little bit of extra time because I had already done a wardrobe fitting, and I said, can I go back on the horses? And they said, seriously? And I said, yes. So I went back out for that week. Instead of doing one time of training, one 3-hour stretch, I requested to do two. So I did 6 hours on the horse every single day. And I can tell you, without going into detail, it hurt to sit, down, you know, for a little bit. But again, for me, that was something that I needed to figure out as a character, because I need to be as comfortable as possible with this horse, not just with that horse, but with any horse. I needed to fit right in. I didn't need to be the guy whose horse was acting strange, or, you know, we had to stop the shot or something. I needed to hit my marks. And and a horse, if you've ever ridden a horse, you know, that's an extension of self, really. They can hear your heartbeat. They feed right off of you. So I took that to heart. I did the Civil War training and really took that to heart. I researched as much as possible. We had a young lady come out and speak to us at cowboy camp. We actually did an overnight where we all went camping. I believe it's the CEO of the Civil War Museum that they have in Richmond, came out and gave us a talk about what was going on during John Brown's time. So there was that. And really from that moment on, I spent as much time as I could outdoors and eating the kind of things that they did. I bought a food dehydrator. I you know, just kind of started living as much as I could that style of life. And whenever I was on set, I was just him. I in between takes, I didn't go and sit down. I would tell people where I was going, and it was usually into the woods to sit on a log or something, you know, to write, to reflect, to you know, really go method. I was very method in the role. Those were definitely the biggest things that I did to really jump in. I actually went and went backpacking for the first time out on the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, nice.
Which was very cool for me, actually, because I had already done the movie Wild, which was about Cheryl Strayed, who did the Pacific Crest Trail. So it felt kind of cool. Obviously, I did it for an evening, and she did it for a few months, but it was still a valuable experience. The other thing I will say that was very important for me was I went and I visited battlefields.
Oh, wow.
And I went and I visited the slave auction sites. Hmm. I did as much as I could to see the pain as well, because I felt as junior, I needed to understand, like my father was telling us, that there was going to be pain coming. And obviously I didn't bring too much to the character, but I needed to have some visuals to really see what he was talking about.
Yeah.
So all of that plays into it.
Really appreciate you sharing that. And again, like, people listening, like, can hear the passion you have for acting. What was the path that inspired you to become an actor? Was it a movie? Was it an actor itself? Or was it something? I mean, it just seems like, I love the fact that you're talking about fatherhood, talking about life in general, and like just taking that road trip on you know, the old Route 66 and just taking it all in and looking at the landscapes. I mean, that is something that my family and I, we want to go to the Grand Canyon. Like, my sister-in-law went there. She's like, you need to go there. It's amazing. Like, you know, take the kids and all that. But like, for you guys, for you to do that with your wife as you're going to go for this role, you're just taking everything in. I love it. But talk about, like, was there a moment or a period in your life where, like, inspired you to become an actor?
Yeah, actually. And it's funny because it's probably going to lead into the Father at Five.
nice.
But so
you're great at this. You're just leading me to the next questions, man. I love this. You're perfect. I love you as a guest, man. This is great.
Well, hey, I'll you know, if I ever have another kid, I'll let you know. Now, when I was younger, my dad shared with me his love of Star Wars. I remember watching with him A New Hope, and I was afraid of the Jawas. I was scared of them. I just was. But I was absolutely just drawn to the story and to, you know, the hero's journey, the arc, the ups, the downs, the evil, the good, like, and how everything was so stark, and then there was gray in between, and how it was something unseen that was bringing people together. And for me, that kind of sparked something in me. And I had already done a play, you know, just in class, but I had noticed that people enjoyed it and were laughing. It was like, oh, like, I can make people happy. I can reach out to people. I can touch people. by doing this, by acting. That to me was the big moment. Now, what's funny about that was I shared that with Mr. Ethan Hawke, and he actually said to me, that's very similar to his experience.
Oh, nice.
And I'm not gonna pretend to say I know what spurred him on or anything, but he talked to me about how watching Star Wars with him was something that resonated with him, like as a kid, and how he just loved it, and how it really spurred on parts of him wanting to become a bigger actor, I guess. I don't know if he was already acting at the time. I imagine he was. It's actually in his bloodline. But so we talked about that. So actually, at the end of the shoot, I ended up giving him a replica that I made of Han Solo's blaster.
Well done.
I build lightsabers in my spare time. I built a few. And this was my first time building a blaster, and I actually did. I modified it a little bit and had electronics working in it, and the night before I went to give it to them, they putzed on me and stopped working. But, it didn't matter. I actually have the video of him keeping it up on my Instagram, believe it or not. It was just cool. It was a cool thing that we shared, and it was... that to me was definitely something that spurred me. Star Wars.
That is fantastic, Nick. And the fact that you make blasters and lightsabers is great. Like, my daughters and my wife and I were supposed to go to Disney World this year. We had plans, we were going to go. And unfortunately, obviously, no one's traveling, so we're not going. But one of the things is I went to Lowe's and I got a bunch of hardware material and stuff. And we made our own lightsaber hilts.
Yeah. Yeah, out of plumbing materials. Yep. Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that hard. I made a fan film that was 2.5 hours long, and I did all the choreography for it with wooden sticks first, and then we used the master replica versions when we were on the day and actually shooting. And oh goodness, yeah, no, this is another story, but I worked on another film, Mother May I Sleep with Danger, where I actually did a little bit of sword fighting in there. And the gentleman who was helping me with the sword fighting asked me if I knew anything about sword fighting. And I jokingly said that, I had done a little bit with a Star Wars film that I had made. And we then kind of, did a little bit of choreography. And he was like, oh, you know what you're doing. You can actually do this one if you want.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, fine. And then at the cast party, he revealed to me someone in his family was one of the stunt doubles, or one of the stuntmen, sorry, on Return of the Jedi.
Oh, nice.
And he gave me the original patch that the crew got.
Oh,
because it's been sitting in his, it's been sitting in his drawer. And he just said, I think you'll get a bigger kick out of this than I would. And he gave that to me and also gave me the postage that came with it that says 1982. And man, it's so cool.
Nick, that is fantastic, blessed. Man. Yeah, so here's the thing. Like, my favorite, I'm in my office right now. I've got a stormtrooper, life size, because I bought the stuff, and I bought a mannequin just so I can put that in the in my office. But then my favorite Star Wars item is a poster that actually I got from my parents. Like, we ordered something, and it was you open it up and it's got the Star Wars New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, and then you open it up, it says coming soon, Revenge of the Jedi. And it's that Return of the Jedi. It's Revenge of the Jedi.
Yeah. Oh, Revenge. Yes, I love that one. I mean, they made an entire, there was an entire campaign for it. There's a commercial for it.
Yeah. So, I appreciate you going down the Star Wars route. Like you said, we're going to be talking about Star Wars in a quick second as we go into the Fatherhood Quick Five. For you, favorite family movie you guys are watching right now is what?
Honestly, it's Star Wars. It's one of the Star Wars. But yeah, gosh, Mandalorian, actually, my daughter loves.
Nice.
But
this is the way.
Yeah, I would have to say, oh goodness gracious, I would love to be on that show.
Hey, man, put it out in the universe, man.
I absolutely love that.
I think they signed for like two more seasons, right? That'd be great, man.
Well, and that's a spaghetti western type thing, and so is the good Lord Bird. Yeah. So,
what you got to do is you got to reach out to Dave Filoni. If you have like contacts or something, someone's got a connection, reach out to Dave Filoni and John Favreau and be like, show him the patch. Show him the Return of the Jedi patch. Be like, look, I'm in, man. You got to get me in here somehow.
The patch actually says Revenge of the Jedi.
Oh, sweet.
But because it was still Revenge at that point.
That would be awesome if you could get in there, man.
No, we'll see. But no, I would say, okay, so favorite family movie that we're watching right now, I would say, if you could call this a movie, would be Hamilton.
Nice. And, one of your co-stars, David Diggs, right?
Diggs. Yeah. Mr. David Diggs.
The soundtrack right now is playing continuously, especially at night in our household. My kids love it, so nice, man.
It is playing in the other room to keep them company while I'm on the phone.
Nice. We're almost done, so you can go back to being a dad. I appreciate it. Maybe this goes into the next one. Favorite family song or, band you like to sing and dance with as a family is?
It actually would be Hamilton music right now. Nice. Probably, oh my gosh, Lorelai and I sing, what do we sing together? Anything with Eliza and Hamilton.
Okay, nice.
We'll sing together. So, a lot of that, a lot of, what is it, Right work. Hand Man.
Yeah, we just always sing like, work, Eliza.
Yorktown. Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. The Skylar sisters are definitely on the playlist.
Nice. Again, not that many people are traveling because of the year that we're having, but describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Well, we had a chance to take a vacation from Chicago back to Los Angeles when we came back from Richmond, this time with the kids, and did Route 66 again.
Nice.
And it was fantastic. We stopped at Cadillac Ranch, it was like going to see Cars for real for them. So it was a lot of fun. We had a great time, and the kids actually really enjoyed it.
Loved it.
Nice.
Again, you and I have both mentioned the fact that we're Star Wars fans. So for you, not family movie, but for you personally, favorite Star Wars movie and character are?
Movie would be Return of the Jedi. Character would have to go to Luke Skywalker.
Nice.
It would have to go to Luke. In a very close second, Yoda.
Nice.
There is no one wiser in this entire world than Yoda. I mean, goodness gracious. Thank you, Frank Oz, for gracing us with your presence for all this time.
For sure.
No
doubt. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad.
Caring, loving, and kind.
Perfect.
I guess.
Perfect. People, make sure you follow Nick on Instagram and Twitter at Nick Eversman. You can see the video where Nick gives Ethan the blaster. And definitely check out his work. Good Lord Bird, all the different movies he's been in and the shows he's been in. Not only do you have the cool Star Wars geek cred with the patch, but you're an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, man. As a Marvel and a comic geek, that's pretty sweet as well.
Yep, I'm in that. I'm in Once Upon a Time. Do some cool stuff there on the Nautilus. and then actually to be fair, right now I'm just actually creating my own production company with a friend of mine that I met on Good Lord Bird. So
nice.
So new things are on the horizon and creating new things too. So,
that is fantastic, man. I wish you and your family continued success, man. And again, I appreciate your thoughts and your insight on fatherhood, man. It was a blast chatting with you.
Well, thank you, and the honor was mine. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.